I'm gonna tell you something, and I want you to listen tight. It may sound like I'm talking about me, but I'm not. I'm talking about you. As a matter of fact, I'm talking about all people everywhere.
Discussing the issues that actually matter. Finding the answers using logic and reason. Now here is the host of Rush to Reason, John Rush.
And I'm your host, John Rush, Rush to Reason, KLZ 560. Myself, Andy Pate, Charlie Grimes. Hour number two is upon us. We'll continue to talk about social media. We'll review the movie Social Dilemma, but Andy had a great thought as we were heading into this hour we wanted to start off with.
Cost.
Yeah.
Okay, here's one real problem, folks. If you want conservatives to form all these wonderful things that you want, if you're saying, man, why haven't conservatives formed this platform or formed the new Amazon or formed the new this or that? If you want to compete with those other big boys, you're going to have to do it with cheap foreign labor.
Farm it out.
You're going to have to. If you do not farm it out to India over the phone or to Chinese workers assembling things or so forth, if you want to do it all with American workers, then folks, you'd better be willing to pay for it. And it's going to not be a little more, it's going to be a lot more.
And by the way, Andy, I know conservatives very well. Most won't.
No, they're going to go to Walmart.
Because most conservatives are cheapskates.
They're going to go to Walmart where there are rows of Chinese-made goods.
Yep.
And Mexican-made
but
goods.
But isn't it also sort of ironic that the same party that pushes fairness to all and we want to make sure the middle class gets raised up and on we go are the same people doing what you just said?
Yeah, the Democrats. It's true. The right? Democrats. The Democrats have been the greatest force in American history for sending jobs overseas.
Yep.
And for thereby lowering what American workers can make. Think about that.
Yep. All right, let's move into Social Dilemma. For those of you that have not seen the movie, it's a documentary. It's not a movie where it's John Wick or anything along those lines. That's not what this is. It is a documentary. But it's a documentary that, by the way, has done extremely well. In my opinion, it's extremely fascinating the way they put things together. There's testimonies, and I apologize. With everything else going on, I didn't get a chance last night to look up all of the characters that are in the movie itself. My suggestion is just watch the movie. But these characters that are in the movie, the ones that are doing the documentary, are literally big tech giant, either current or ex-employees of big tech giants.
Yeah, and a lot of them were developers. Now, let's keep in mind, this is a left-leaning movie, and these were all lefties in the movie.
All.
But there were certain things, like when they show violence occurring, it's all white people doing it, And when they talk about how something has been exploited, the violence, they talk about it being done toward Muslims and so forth. Look, there are some lefty messages.
Oh, there's a ton of it there, but still.
But there's also some even-handed messages.
There is, with all that said, is it still worth watching? Yes.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. I mean,
basic point is still valid.
You can tell who put it together.
Oh, yeah.
No doubt about it. Now, again, though, I am still shocked at the left putting this together and putting it out there.
It's pretty incredible because I look at the left as one big force.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And here this force has put out a movie that's basically saying this. And here are the most ominous parts of the movie. We are tracking absolutely every single thing you look at on every screen have. We are tracking all of it because it tells us about you. Now, think about this for a moment, John. Let's go back before computers were big and you're a kid. Okay? Back in the day when you're a teenager.
Yeah.
All right?
They didn't exist. Yep, got it.
What if somebody could get in your mind and literally watch everything you looked at and which drew your eye and could listen to everything you said in every single setting possible? That's what this is today.
That's exactly
what
this
is. Social media has become.
That's right.
It has become a window into your soul.
That's right. So real quick, some of the characters. Tristan Harris from Google, former design engineer there. He's also the head of Center for Humane Technology. He's the co-founder. Jeff Siebert is another one. Twitter, former executive and a serial tech entrepreneur. Bailey Richardson, Instagram, and was on the early team of Instagram. Joe Toscano, Google, former experience as you just said, Andy, design consultant, author of Automating Humanity, Sandy Perikalis, Facebook, former operations manager, Uber, former product manager. Another guy was from YouTube, former engineer. I mean, it goes down the list, guys. These are everybody from YouTube to Google to Apple to Facebook to Instagram to Pinterest. On down the line we go. And everything Andy just said a moment ago, folks, they are literally, if you're on the internet at all, they are literally tracking every single thing you do. And if you have a smartphone, they are listening to every single thing you do.
Yes.
Period.
Yes. You have absolutely, positively zero privacy.
There's no anonymity at all whatsoever. None.
Yeah.
Doesn't exist.
So, you know, you can't think for a second that you in any way, shape, or form have privacy on anything that involving your phone. If you send texts, they can be revealed. If you do anything, it's being tracked.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely anything. You know, I thought it was interesting. One thing they do is they dramatize algorithms. And so they have three guys.
Right.
Yeah. And what these, now it's a little, it's dopey. I thought this was actually the most dopey and clumsy part of the show.
It was pretty dope, but it proved a point.
But it proved a point. And yeah. What it was is three guys who are basically together, they're an algorithm.
Right.
And they're watching everything you do. And if one, and you know, they dramatize and have a family that tries to tune out. And
they try to put their phones away.
And the
one's kid's challenges for a week.
Yeah, the teenager, he's challenged for a week. And, you know, so they have the algorithms noticing he hasn't been touching
in. Where's this kid at?
So how can we get him back in? And they can actually reach him through other people who are connected on the net, with whom he has interacted before.
Right.
And so they have
pinging him with notifications.
Pinging him. And so they're showing, you know, all the ways that they can reach you that you never thought they could possibly reach you. And by the way, I think another big thing that was important, if I may, and I'm going to turn it over to
you. No, you're fine. Go ahead.
Is a lot of people think that sales is just finding what the market wants and providing it. No, that's half of it. It's finding what the market wants and providing it. And on the other half, it is persuading the market to want what you're providing,
mm-hmm.
changing the market, massaging the market. That person came in for this kind of car, but you want to sell them this car. How do you massage them to get the? Okay,
and real quick, what you just described is the difference between a transaction and a sale. I talk to my clients about this all the time. A transaction is somebody goes in, buys milk, and leaves.
Right.
A sale is when you convince them to buy something else that they didn't even come into the store for.
Yes. You want something in aisle six.
I believe a sale is a transfer of belief. It's getting somebody else to believe in something enough to spend money on it.
Yes.
That's my definition of a sale. I know that's not the textbook definition, but
it works.
John's definition.
No, it works. And this is one thing I didn't totally agree with them is they were acting a lot of times like this was all that groundbreaking. And what I was hearing was, a lot of this is simply an online version of what you and I discuss all the time. This is what sales really is. It is, I mean, the big difference is they have the capacity, the ability, the resources to manipulate people to much greater degrees than they ever thought.
I was just going to add, the difference is these guys can work on the subconscious, where you and I have to work in the conscience world.
Exactly.
The biggest difference.
Somebody comes into a store that John Rush is running. John quickly sizes them up, assesses what aspects of their personality he can quickly type A, type this. They're concerned about their wife, who has been sick or whatever. And he sizes up what he can. Well, with algorithms, they can size up absolutely everything you've ever looked at. Once again, remember John Rush as a teenager.
That's right.
They've got a camera on that teenager's head looking at everything you look at.
That's right. So the point with what we're getting at here and why I'm a big one on there's not a young person out there that should be on the internet, and I'll talk about a couple of things as soon as we come back of things even I believe adults should be doing. We'll mention that as well in a moment. But folks, if you've got kids under the age of 18, and I know it's going to sound really hard, and a lot of you are going to think I'm some old ogre, you should not allow kids under the age of 18 to be on the internet at all, period. Period. And if they're going to go do research for some sort of a paper or homework or whatever the case may be, great, you should be there watching.
They're being manipulated as
big time.
They're being manipulated as much there as they are in a public school.
That's right. Probably, I'll go one step further and say more so, Andy.
Sure, it's more all-consuming.
Yep, and more so to the point where that age group is much more manipulative, you know, or they're able to be manipulated, let me say it that way. That age group you can manipulate more easily than you can you and I.
Right.
Their minds are much more impressionable at that age. And by the way, these tech companies know that.
Oh, yeah. They know exactly how to do it.
Are the drug dealer on the edge of the playground handing out, you know, ounces of Coke for free, getting the kids hooked so they'll later become customers.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
That's literally what these guys are.
It was interesting. At one point, they say drug dealing and computers are the only two places where the customers are known as users.
I love – and you know what? Users. They're right. Only drug dealers and computer companies call their customers users. Go figure.
Yeah. And before we go to break.
Go ahead. We got time. Go ahead.
I'll just close with this. Here was the thing that they didn't really go into nearly enough because this was a left-wing show.
Sure.
They did not go into the fact that these people running these companies are not good people.
No. Some of them did. Some said that.
They alluded a little bit, but they didn't really get into. Look, at one point when they were talking about how these things can be used to mess with elections, they went to Putin, which is insane.
Right.
The amount of money that Russia spent on Facebook toward the election is not even a drop in a bucket. It's a drop in an ocean.
Agree.
Okay. Meanwhile, you have all these major companies run by one party using all their algorithms to direct people directly toward support for Joe Biden. They didn't mention a thing of it.
No.
And what I'm saying is this. These guys didn't really get down to just how malevolent and evil the people running these things are.
We'll come back and talk a little more about that, because I think some did, maybe not in a direct way that you're saying, but I could see them, you know, saying. Well, anyway, we'll come back. Don't go anywhere. We'll come right back. Ascend Health Center coming up next. Dr. Julie Marchio, she'll join us tomorrow for our Wellness Wednesday segment. In the meantime, anything you need from Dr. Julie, don't forget, you can lose weight right now by going to Ascend Health Center, 30% off her program. It's 30% off. Ascend Health Center is easy to find them. Just go to ascendhealthcenter.com or call 303-343-8800.
Dr. Julie Marchial of Ascend Health Center has dedicated her life to helping you feel well because your health impacts every other area of your life. Think about what matters most to you, the goals you want to achieve tomorrow, next year, in the next 10 years. It will be harder to achieve those goals if you don't feel well. You won't be as effective at home or at work unless your body has the energy and vitality it needs. Dr. Julie of Ascend Health Center wants to provide, enable, and assist you in developing your highest quality of life. And she believes that you will be more effective at the things that matter to you when you feel well. That's why it's so important to take care of your health. And that's why Dr. Julie has developed an actionable plan to help you feel well. All you need is a willingness to change. Set up a consultation. Tell Dr. Julie you're ready to make a change, and she will handle the rest. Find Ascend Health Center in Denver and Inglewood now at rushtoreason.com.
All right, Franktown Firearms is next. I said this earlier. I believe, and I'm a Second Amendment guy, I believe everybody should own a gun, should know how to use that gun, should know all the difference in the guns themselves, and frankly be trained on each individual gun that they own so they can be proficient in it. That's what Franktown Firearms does. Find them today at klzradio.com or call 720-770-7777.
Make your gun your own at Franktown Firearms, one of the only shooting ranges with full-service gunsmithing on site. The team at Franktown Firearms now has multiple gunsmiths on staff, so you can stop by their gunsmithing department at the back of the store 7 days a week for anything from cleaning to bore sighting, scope mounting, and everything in between. Because Franktown Firearms offers full-service gunsmithing on site, they can take care of any issues with your firearm in-house. Oftentimes, people send their firearm off to the manufacturer for repairs. You could wait up to 180 days just for the manufacturer to look at your gun. Recently, a client of Franktown Firearms noticed an issue with her revolver right out of the box. The team at Franktown repaired it and got the gun back to her shortly because they handled the repairs on site. If your gun needs to be sent off for any reason, the team at Franktown will be happy to send it on your behalf. Ask about gunsmithing now at klzradio.com/Franktown.
Carl Dierenbach writes in his recent The Federalist op-ed that CDC data suggests lockdowns could kill as many people as COVID. He also notes that our reaction has turned a bad pandemic into an unrivaled, self-inflicted national disaster. Kim Munson here. Wednesday, Carl explains that COVID is real and it causes real-world damage and real-world heartbreak, but it is not the killer it has been made out to be. That's Wednesday, 6 to 7 a.m., 1 to 2 p.m., again 10 to 11 p.m., right here on KLZ 560 and KLZ 100.7 FM.
With every crisis, there is opportunity. Buying or selling your business? Kim Munson recommends Chris Cantwell with Transworld Business Advisors. Find Chris Cantwell at kimmunson.com. That's M-O-N-S-O-N.
Putting reason into your afternoon drive. This is John Rush.
Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. And by the way, just as a side note, Andy and I were just looking that Facebook and Twitter, both of you look at their stock. Twitter was at around 55. They're down to like 47 now. The high here recently, about 4 days ago, for Facebook was 251. They closed today at 251, but they were as high as 270 a week ago.
Well, that's $20 a share down. Twitter, that's a 13% drop. That's a lot.
It's significant, folks. I mean, Facebook dropped today 2%. Well, 2%'s not chump change. So, you know, you look at that, and are these guys taking some hits? You know, how long will this last? You know, I don't know. It's hard to say. As more and more conservatives start to jump ship and go other places and they lose, you know, let's face it, this is like TV land. People don't really realize that, but this is the same as TV. It's viewership.
It can actually happen in plateaus. I mean, this is exactly what we've seen with the NBA and NFL.
Mm-hmm.
The NBA, now their numbers are up this year because they removed all the Black Lives Matter
junk
stuff from the
finally.
Yeah, they're just playing basketball. Go
Which
figure.
Is what they should have done to begin with.
Right, and the NFL, though, they dropped about 8% across the board, which, by the way, wow, this year. From last year, 8 to 9%, and last year wasn't a good year. That was a year of a drop. So, wow. So what I mean is it goes down to 1 year, and then the next year goes down even further. I think as more Americans start to really understand the level of bias, they're going to lose some more shares.
Yeah, I can't disagree with you. Mike in Denver, you're up. What's going on?
Hey, John.
How are we doing,
good
sir?
Evening. Doing really well, I think. Hey, got a question for you. I'm not overly technical savvy. I'm 63. I'm right in that in-between
state, okay,
knowing nothing. And I want to understand how this works, the internet.
Sure.
Like, what's the foundation and what should I be doing to help with this problem? One thing I did recently is I deleted my Facebook account.
Okay.
I never have used Twitter, I mean.
Right.
And I also am now using a search engine called DuckDuckGo.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really, I don't know if you know much about DuckDuckGo, but they shield you from the prying eyes of all the other guys. I mean, and it even tells you who's trying to get your information as soon as I go to a site, and they block it.
Right.
So but I need to get some more ideas of what it is I should be doing.
You're on the right track. I mean, the reality is, Mike, we need the internet. We use it. You know, we do all sorts of things on it, from business to, you know, personal shopping and things along those lines. So, you know, you can't just – I mean, I guess you could walk completely away, although I think that's very difficult in today's world. But, no, you are taking all of the correct steps. I think the other thing to be really careful of for everyone listening, not just yourself, Mike, but that is also to – you know, protect yourself in regards to, you know, where is your data stored, making sure that passwords are secure, making sure if you do any banking online, all of that is done properly, you know, and so on. Because, you know, there are people out there literally trying to hack your information on a daily basis.
Well, I don't know how I could do my banking any different than I do. I go into my, you know, my bank with certain passcodes. Should I change those?
Yes, on a routine basis, you actually should, yes.
And then as far as my storage is concerned, somebody told me to get some kind of device at Walmart that I plug into my phone and store it on a thumb drive.
You can, although there are, I will say, the majority of the cloud storage that's out there that's done by the you know, the more mainstream companies, you know, i.e. Dropbox and some of those companies that are out there, you know, the majority of the cloud storage is actually highly secure. And again, same thing, change your password on a routine basis. But the cloud storage, I am not afraid of, Mike, at all.
Okay. Well, and another thing, I really don't even understand exactly how the Internet works. The foundation of the Internet, is the foundation of the Internet a company like AT&T, for instance?
No,
got to have.
No, they're just an arm. So all AT&T is doing is they're delivering the you know, think of it this way. They're delivering the pipe whereby the data that you're sending back and forth runs through. So they're the company that owns the infrastructure on the pipe itself. There's other companies that, if we're going to use water as the terminology, there's companies that have the wastewater treatment plant. There's other companies that have the freshwater supply coming in. You know, on down the line we go. So all AT&T is the pipe.
Okay.
Okay.
Now, Parler, for instance, they got
booted from Amazon.
Went black.
Right.
And what can they do to get back into the mainstream?
Amazon claims that they saved all of their data, that before they booted them, all of that was saved and is in check, and all they have to do is go to another server farm, basically, is what Amazon is. Amazon runs big, huge server farms that they store data and run it out to the Internet, and all they have to do, which, by the way, Parler has already found another provider that will host their services for them.
I heard that in Boise, the ISP there, the Internet Service mm-hmm. Provider, actually stopped Facebook and Twitter users from being able to go online. Did you hear about that?
I did hear about that, and it'll be interesting to see if that will actually hold. I doubt very seriously if lawfully they can do that, but I'm not in the intellectual property, you know, legality of things to know whether or not that Internet Service Provider can or cannot do that. I, with net neutrality being in existence, Mike, I doubt very seriously if that will stand. I don't think they can do that.
Well, I want to start a company. I'm not smart enough to start this company, so I'd have to have people around me. But I want to start some 501c or some sort of a corporation called Dump Big Tech, where people will just start donating money so that we can start just circumventing companies that, you know, are basically – their tyranny, their tyrannical.
Yep, agree. And you know, my great idea, Mike. I think that is not a bad idea at all. You know, got to get some traction on our side to make these things happen. And here's the reality, Mike. There's enough money on the conservative side to go out and compete with some of these giants. The key is getting somebody to actually put the money into it. And right now, we talked a little bit about this yesterday. There is right now, of course, lots of uncertainty as to how well some of these companies will perform moving forward, and whether that's even a good investment or not. That's probably the biggest thing the conservative side is looking at right now, is, you know, the cost to build all of that out versus the reward down the road. The reward might not outweigh the cost, and it may not be worth doing. I don't know.
Well, I don't know. The end result of free speech being squelched is pretty bad.
Well, and again, I want to make sure that I'm clear on this with everybody else. And while you're partially correct, you're not totally correct, because really, Mike, there's no free speech on the Internet, because on the Internet, there's so many different private entities involved in the Internet that to go out there and say they're squashing free speech is really, honestly, it's a falsehood. It's not true. It's like me going into, you know, Best Buy and trying to produce a sermon or do my radio show on the floor of Best Buy. Best Buy is going to come along and say, you can't do that here. This is private property. Guess what? All of the Internet is private property. Unless you've got your own website, Mike, which you are then free to do whatever you want to with your own website, which you can, as long as it's not something that's, you know, criminal and illegal, you could host and have as much free speech as you want on your own website. And by the way, hosted by yourself, you literally can do anything you want and not rely on anyone else. And by the way, that, in today's world, that's the thing I think as conservatives, everybody forgets. What I just said is very doable. It is not, you know, an outlandish statement that I just made to go host your own stuff. We just have gotten spoiled on cheap services from folks like Amazon where you don't have to.
Yeah, but not very many people go to your website versus a site like or where everybody can see what's being said.
Well, you know, and Mike, and here's the deal. It's not that complicated. Maybe it's high time that conservatives actually got educated on this stuff and actually went out and did it and took some of that business away from Amazon by just hosting some of their own stuff. Churches, for example. There's no reason why a church is hosted on anybody's website or anybody's server other than their own. Every church out there could afford to have its own server. I mean, Mike, we're talking, you know, literally less than $1,000 somebody could put a server together at a church and host their own website. We're not talking huge dollars.
Well, now you're getting into something. I'm not quite technologically advanced in my thinking, and I'm not quite sure even what you're saying right now. I mean, I know enough, a little bit, but I need to get educated.
Well, so real quick, and great question, by the way. Mike, this is a great conversation. So think of a website itself. It has to be hosted on some sort of a box, a piece of hardware, much like your computer or, you know, your phone even, you know, some sort of a device that holds the data concerning that particular website, which, by the way, that data can be changed. That's how websites get updated and so on. But there just needs to be a box that's hooked into the internet. And granted, there's some technical things that have to happen to make that box communicate properly out to the internet itself. You have to have what they call a static IP address that the user would have for that box so that the address of that box is known to the internet. But once those basic things are done, Mike, any person or any organization, any nonprofit out there can host their own stuff. It's not complicated.
Can you be banned by some bigger company from your speech at that point?
No. Now, you can have the FBI show up if you're doing, you know, say, for example, you're hosting your own website and you've got child porn on it or pedophilia stuff, things along those lines. Yeah, the feds could show up, take your box, leave. That's a whole different situation. But if you're doing everything legally, Mike, no, you're fine.
It goes straight to the pipe is what you're saying.
Exactly. It goes straight to the pipe. Thank you. Yes, that's exactly how it works.
But then the only other people that could shut you down would be AT&T and others, right? They could say they could join in with Google and Facebook and all these people and say, we're going to get in on this and we're going to shut down the same people you want us to.
Right? The internet service providers could do some of those things, yes, although typically they are some of the most neutral people out there because, frankly, Mike, they want your 60 or 80 bucks a month.
How many hard line pipe companies are there?
A lot.
AT&T.
A lot. Across the country, Level 3 owns most of the fiber across the country. You've got all of your old Ma Bells that own a lot of that last quarter mile going into houses. You've got companies like, you know, Xfinity, which is Comcast, and those companies own in cable, and they're spread around all across the country. Some cities own their own copper that goes that last mile to the house. It just depends on how it's set up in that particular area. City of Longmont, for example, they have their own ISP in the city of Longmont, which, by the way, I'm totally against government entities being an ISP.
Yeah. Now, ISP, Internet Service Provider.
Right.
Okay. Is that the same thing as a pipe?
No. That is just the company that's providing the routing, if you would, from the pipe to the rest of the pipes all over the internet. So think of the ISP being your pipe going to the internet service provider. From the internet service provider, they're going out to the gazillions of pipes that are out there all over the world that make up the internet. So think of the ISP as being that direct line from your pipe at your house or your computer to them. In most cases, the ISP is the same company owning the hard line coming into your house, typically.
Well, I know my daughter, for instance, she's got a couple thousand followers on her site, which she does. And that's pretty good. You know,
yeah,
I mean,
it is.
Every morning people tune in to her baking oatmeal. That's what she likes to do.
Yeah, that's good.
She makes
good for her.
A variety of oatmeal. And so if she can do that, I need to get some ideas from
her. Yeah, and if she's doing that, she could help you. Yes, very well said.
Okay.
Mike, great questions, by the way. Thank you very much. And I by the way, appreciate that. Those are great questions that we always say in radio, if there's one person out there like Mike that has that questions, there's thousands of others that have it. So, Mike, thank you for asking that. We appreciate it. Mighty Hand Construction is next, folks. Anything you need in northern Colorado, they're there to help you, whether it's looking to do a bathroom, any kind of a remodel, kitchen, basement, you name it, in northern Colorado, Mighty Hand Construction. 970-844-9191 or klzradio.com.
The team at Mighty Hand gets back to you. A lot of mom and pop construction companies don't have large enough teams to call you back promptly. the same guy probably works as both the foreman and the salesperson, so he simply doesn't have the time. Micah Applegate, owner of Mighty Hand Construction in Fort Collins, has a team of dedicated project managers who will make sure you have a solid estimate on your remodeling project within a couple of weeks, at the latest. As a full-service construction company with nothing but five-star reviews, Mighty Hand prides themselves on their timely responses. Micah and his team run a well-organized business with designated shop managers, their own delivery trucks and equipment, subcontractors they trust, and experienced foremen who will oversee every detail of your project. Visit klzradio.com/mightyhand for custom real estate modification in Northern Colorado. Honoring God, impacting customers.
Affordable Interest Mortgage, Kurt Rogers, who wants to help you with all of your mortgage needs. If you've got a question, just want to see where you're at right now, review that mortgage, find out if there's anything you can do better. Talk to Kurt Rogers, 720-895-0500.
Take AIM. Affordable Interest Mortgage has been offering the Asset Manager all-in-one loan for over 11 years. We are experienced in helping homeowners pay thousands less in interest on their mortgage, own their home faster, all without spending one dime more. 720-895-0500. Take AIM, Affordable Interest Mortgage, where we have hundreds of clients that have been using this loans to build their equity faster, access emergency funds when necessary, and pay off their home in 8 to 13 years versus 25 to 30. People initially believe this loan is too good to be true, but it is true. Call 720-895-0500 now to see if you qualify. Loans from $100,000 to $2.5 million, same rate. Ask our previous clients. They will tell you it works. Call 720-895-0500 and work with the experts. This loan has been around since 1965. Affordable Interest Mortgage, where it's all about you. 720-895-0500. Regulated by DORA, NMLS 298191, Equal Credit Lender.
All right, a good shop, folks. And if you've been involved in an accident looking for a place to actually fix your car, we have got the place for you. Don't let an insurance company tell you where to go. Again, take control, go to the good shop, and they'll do the rest. Find them at klzradio.com, three locations to serve you, 720-541-7697.
After an accident, you just want your vehicle back the way it was as quickly as possible. Before founding a Good Shop Collision Center in North Glen and Commerce City, Al Sturm used to work for some of the big corporate conglomerates, so he has the personal experience to compare the two. Al recently heard from a customer who tried using one of the big corporate shops for some auto body work on his old truck. He waited a month just to get an estimate, only to find out they wouldn't work on older vehicles. At a good shop, Al and his team have the autonomy they need to take care of their customers. You don't want your vehicle tied up any longer than necessary. Because a good shop has three locations, they can get you in for an estimate faster. Al and his team at a good shop are proud to run a certified, independent auto body shop where you're more than just a number. Schedule an estimate now at klzradio.com/collision. Certified collision repair worth referring.
Rather than struggling, you can expand your business with John Rush as your personal business coach. No matter what business you're in, it's always a mistake to wait, hold off, and see what happens. Now is the time to move forward. Two of John's clients are expanding right now, moving into new industries because they see an opportunity. John believes that as long as you fill a need, there's no reason not to grow. Send an email to John at rushtoreason.com and run your ideas by him today.
Stay up to date with Rush to Reason after the show on Twitter at Rush to Reason and on Facebook.com/Rush to Reason.
All right, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Myself, Andy Pate, Spartacus, I should say, from Colorado Springs, joining us now. How are you, sir?
Bonjour, mon ami. Comment ça va?
Hey, what's up?
I'm just grabbing some gratitude, looking at America's beautiful mountain and the garden of God. But a couple thoughts. The gentleman called earlier, and I think it's, everybody should do this, is have a VPN. ExpressVPN is pretty good because what it does, as you know,
right,
it bounces around various servers, gives you a much better degree of, shall we say, confidentiality, number one. Number two...
Well, yeah, well, real quick, so real quick for everybody listening, what a VPN is, a virtual private network where really a lot of the tracking that we've talked about even in Social Dilemma is much, much harder to do because they really don't know where you are, where you're coming from, and that IP address that your main machine has changes all the time, so they don't actually know who you are. It's a great way to do it.
correct. And number two, you know, a lot of kids out there think that this serving, storing stuff on the cloud, it's just somebody else's server, like Google Docs. It's
correct.
Just a server. And this cloud stuff just drives me crazy. And then, by the way, back to VPN. All the DOD people I know in Colorado Springs are required to have a VPN.
I'm sure. Yes.
And then,
makes
number,
sense.
Number three, I thought this was a great idea. And there apparently is some congressman that is looking at doing this. But because nobody reads the user agreements, clicks I accept, we need to have basically federal legislation that you cannot consent. Just like a minor can't consent to sex, the tech guys are going to go crazy on this. But basically, it would just be federal legislation. You cannot consent to having your data tracked, sold, stolen. And I kind of like that idea.
Yeah, I do too, actually. I'm not a big one on legislation, but yeah, that one sounds good. For everybody listening, real quick, who do you feel is the best VPN or maybe the top two guys?
ExpressVPN. I'm using them.
Okay.
Digital Goddess, Soul in Commando, pushes it, and it's pretty good.
Okay.
And it's real cheap. I mean, it's just $3 a month.
Okay.
And it's on multiple devices, so whatever devices you have, you're whatever.
Okay.
Ready to
perfect.
Go.
Perfect. For everybody listening, ExpressVPN.
But it bothers me, too, is that I can't convince my 22-year-old daughter to not do banking on her freaking phone.
Hmm.
I said, that is really insecure. I said, you haven't even loaded up Malwarebytes, for Pete's sake.
Right.
And once something happens, it's too late. And they're going to spend a lot of time, brain damage, and money
yep.
to correct
well said.
It.
No, that's right. Very well said. That's exactly right. Yep.
Nope. Enjoy your show, as you know.
Perfect. No, I appreciate it very much. Thanks for the phone call. Thanks for the tip. And yes, everybody listening, a VPN is a virtual private network that essentially makes it look like you going out to the internet are not who you are. Best way for me to say it.
Yeah.
It's basically a masking device, if you would. And by the way, it's legal. There's nothing illegal about it. It's just a way to keep a lot of the tracking that Andy was talking about in Social Dilemma down.
No, I think it's a great idea. What are the costs, generally?
You know, and I will be the first to say I don't use one. I've been looking at it. Steve probably is just not going to push me over the edge to look. Yeah, I think most of them, Andy, are $10 a month or so. It's not a huge cost.
Okay.
I mean, most people are spending that on, you know, Starbucks once or twice a month, so... It's pretty minimal, actually, when it's all said and done.
And that way you're not being tracked.
You are not. And the other thing, there's some advantages to VPNs as well that I'm not trying to tell people how to, you know, circumvent things. But, you know, VPNs work in such a way that, you know, there are certain devices that only allow you to use them in one location. Well, with a VPN, you can use those things in multiple locations because you're always going out of the same URL, the same IP address, I should say, not URL, but the same IP address. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And I won't get into all the details as to what I'm talking about, but some of you that have situations where you would like to use a particular service in other locations with a VPN, you're allowed to, well, not necessarily allowed to, but you can. Not telling anybody to do anything illegal, but that's what a VPN allows you to do.
Sure. And I think it's a very good idea.
I think it is too.
You know, but we have to keep in mind, money's tight right now, and I understand. If you can't afford it, you can't afford it. But if you can, it's a good expenditure.
ExpressVPN, I just looked up because of what Steve said a moment ago, or Spartacus said a moment ago, $667 a month if you buy it for 15 months all in one chunk. It's pretty cheap.
Yeah, that's not bad.
No, that's pretty cheap, actually. So it's $100 for 15 months. Not bad. Pretty cheap. If you do it month to month, I think it's $10 a month. So anyways, it's worth doing. And that's just one. There are all sorts of other deals. And I would... venture
now,
to
hey,
guess.
Really quick here, yes. Does that cover all of your devices?
You know what? I'm going to have to roll through this and see, but I
John,
believe
you were supposed to be ready
for this. I'm sorry. I didn't think we were going to talk VPNs today. That does have apps for all the devices. I got to look and see how many devices it will support is probably the next thing I need to check. I don't know that. I would venture to guess this is like a per user sort of a thing is would be my guess, but I'll double check and let everybody know. We'll take a break. In fact, I can do that through the break and find out. Come back and talk about it. Great question, by the way, Andy. Purify Chevrolet's up next. If you're looking to buy a new or used car, it is a place to go. And again, as I said many, many times, if you want to go see a C8 Corvette, they do have some on the showroom floor. Mine, as well as another one I know about, is there also. Go by, check them out. It's in Fort Lupton, 303-659-8311 or purifychevrolet.com.
Hi, I'm Rolly Purefoy. You know, being in business for 6 decades in any business is a tough thing to do, especially in today's highly complex and competitive world. As a small business, we certainly have experienced many trying times when there was no clear answer or path to take for survival. The COVID-19 virus for all of us has been the ultimate business disruptor, but once again, we've managed to keep on keeping on, and we are there to serve our many tried and true customers that have depended on us to always be there. We aren't and never will be a big high-flying dealership, but one with honesty and integrity and a culture of doing things right. We appreciate all our customers, many of which have come long distances to do business with us. We are proud of who we are and what we do. Purefoy proud. We certainly need and would appreciate a chance to earn your business, whether it would be for parts or service or if you're in the market for a new or used vehicle. We'd love to be your Chevy dealer. Find us today at purefoychevrolet.com and find new roads.
All right, Al Smith, Golden Eagle Financial. If you're looking for some advice on what to do financially speaking on down the road, we've got the guy for you, Al Smith, Golden Eagle Financial. And by the way, you can hear Al tomorrow right here on KLZ 560 as well from, I believe, 2 to 2:30. In the meantime, give Al a call, 303-744-1128, or find him at klzradio.com.
Saving for retirement is not the same thing as having a retirement plan. Al Smith, founder of Golden Eagle Financial, helps people near and in retirement who have already saved up the money they need, but who haven't really thought about what comes next. You wouldn't hop in the car for a two-week vacation with no destination in mind. You wouldn't hire a new employee without a job description. You shouldn't retire without a clear idea about how you're going to collect the money you've been diligently saving all your adult life. As soon as you retire, your focus shifts from saving money to making money last. Your risk tolerance changes. You need a financial advisor who specializes in wealth preservation, not wealth accumulation. Set up a free consultation with Golden Eagle Financial at klzradio.com/money, and Al Smith will help you create a plan. Advisory services offered through Foundations Investment Advisors, an SEC-registered investment advisor.
Now back to Rush to Reason on KLZ 560.
All right, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. And real quick, we had a caller calling in asking about, you know, if you're using a VPN and, you know, you've got Comcast, Xfinity is your normal provider. So, Andy, who's yours?
Comcast.
Comcast. Okay, so if you're Andy and you're using a VPN, you still use the lines and the modem and the routers and everything that's in Andy's house to go out to the internet. So Andy's got a modem that goes to Comcast that delivers the traffic in and out of the internet and so on. That still stays in effect, but what happens is the IP address that Andy's actually surfing the internet from changes on a random basis, and it could show Andy being in the U.S. or Germany or Japan or Australia or wherever. So you guys have all seen those shows where, you know, they're trying to locate somebody and this person ends up bouncing around all over the world. They're using an example of that person being on a VPN and you have no idea where they're actually at. The other thing that happens with a VPN, just real quick, is when you're browsing, for example, you will find things browsing that you would typically not find. So, for example, if Andy is... You know, there's some drawbacks to it as well. But, you know, if Andy's looking for local restaurants, the minute he looks in, find local food. It already knows because of Andy's IP address and where he's coming from that they need to look for, you know, restaurants in Aurora, Colorado.
Right.
Because that's where Andy's from. So it automatically knows. Or if Andy does a search here, we're still in Aurora. But so let's say Andy's in Golden, where I'm at. It's going to search for restaurants automatically in Golden because it knows from your IP address that's where you're located. Now, with the VPN, you got to be a little more specific. You're going to type in find local restaurant Golden, Colorado, because it may think you're in Germany and it won't find you a local restaurant otherwise.
Or even throw in a zip code.
However you want to do that. Exactly. Well said. Yes. Yeah. So that's one thing to kind of keep in mind when you go to a VPN. And by the way, most of these companies have a really great tutorial on their website that actually shows what a VPN is, how it works, what you have to do, so on and so forth. It's really fairly simple when it comes to that. So just something to think about. And if it's something you're interested in doing, there's multiple VPNs out there. Just figure out which one is best for you, and away you go. It's really that simple. So that I wasn't really planning on, getting into VPNs and so on. But I will tell you this: I've been looking at them over the past few months, and with everything that's happened now the last couple of weeks, is this something that I will look at and most likely do in the not too distant future, i.e., probably today? Yeah. Yeah, it's cheap enough. It's worth doing. You know, it's $6-7 a month just to have that level of privacy that you don't have now. Yeah, it'd be worth doing.
$100, 15 months. Doesn't seem too bad.
No, it's not a bad deal. And again, it allows you to do some things also that, you know, don't want to get into a lot of details, but allows you to do some things that you wouldn't be able to do otherwise as well. So not a bad deal. Something worth doing. And there's a ton of them. You can just even, you know, go and Google best VPN services out there, and they'll give you a list of them, and just go figure out which one is best for you, and away you go. But we really started this hour off talking about Social Dilemma. And the one thing that I talked about this the other day, but the one thing that I still found the most surprising of all that they went ahead and let play was that every one of these employees of tech giants that really helped build the backbone for this stuff are the first ones to tell you, I myself try not to use it as, you know, the least amount I possibly can, and I will not allow my kids on it at all.
The main thrust, especially with the dramatization of the show, was to get people off the internet.
It really was. I was shocked. I mean, keep in mind, this is Netflix. You need the internet to watch Netflix.
Right.
And yet they're telling you, get off the internet.
Basically. what they were really telling you to do, I think the advice toward the end was pretty good. They said, sit down for a moment and really decide how much time a day do you really want to commit to the internet, because you've been committing several times more than you would generally say.
The other thing that it did talk about, which you know, I think is a great idea, for me personally, there's only a couple of notifications I allow through on my phone, one of them being the text line for the show and you know, regular text messages. You know, honestly, outside of that, I don't have but maybe one or two other notifications. In fact, I probably should go through and even clean those up. What they really said was just turn all notifications off, because then the ability for that algorithm to start pinging you at times goes away, because they have no way of notifying you.
Right.
It doesn't, you know, you're not going to look down at your phone and see the last latest and greatest message that pops up.
Well, and also, if they can't ping you all the time, maybe they won't track you as much because you are not profitable.
That's what it really comes down to. Thank you, Andy. That's exactly. And I think that's really the gist of what these guys were saying, is it's not don't use the internet. It's don't be subjected to what the internet wants to foist upon you. Control it rather than it control you is really what they were saying.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah. Exactly.
Which, by the way, those of us that have been around long enough to watch the internet in its infancy, I think we do a better job of controlling the internet versus the internet controlling us. These young people, though, that are just coming in or that have been around it for the last 20 years or so, it controls them.
Yeah, because they grew up in that world.
They didn't have anything else.
It's like telling them to control oxygen.
They don't know how.
No, they breathe it, they exhale it. I mean, that's it. They live the internet.
I mean, back in our day, I know we only have a minute or so left, but, you know, Andy, back in our day, if you wanted to go to a rally or you wanted to go someplace and you knew there was a big meetup or whatever, that all got done over the telephone. You just picked up the phone and called each other, and there was sort of this chain of phone calls that were made, and everybody kind of knew what to do and where to go and where to hang out, and everybody met and done deal.
Yeah.
Now, of course, the internet has replaced that. But
tacked things up on trees.
We act like we can't do that anymore, that without the internet, we can't be social. But frankly, nothing could be farther from the truth. We'd be more social without the internet.
Yeah, I think a lot of people have regressed into their phone.
We are less social today because of social media, not more social because of social media.
Correct.
What was sought out initially to make people more connected has actually separated them more so.
It has. I mean, there are times when it hasn't. You know,
I understand.
My wife can talk to her grandma and.
Right.
Exactly. But yeah, generally, it's made us all have our heads down, not talking to each other.
Not up. I've sat in restaurants throughout an entire meal where you've watched some young couple, or I've watched a young couple sit at a table not far from me, and literally the entire time never look at one another. Because they're in their phones.
Were they unattractive?
Actually, no, surprisingly enough. And by the way, I've not watched that just once. I've watched that numerous times where the majority of dinner, two people are spent looking at their phones, not each other. It's like, why did you come to dinner? You might as well just gone to McDonald's, sat in the car and ate and looked at your phone the whole time. What difference does it make?
I agree.
Anyways, best advice. figure out how to control it. Don't let it control you. And I will still stand on this and leave everybody with this. I know we got another little segment to come back to, but I'll leave everybody with this. Get your kids off of it. If you have little kids, don't ever let them on it in the first place. And I'm one that says, you know, until they go off to college, keep them off of it. They don't need it.
It's going to be tough, though. Their friends are all on.
I know that, but you know what? Are you going to be a parent or a friend? I was a parent. Still am. So we'll take a break. We'll come right back. Barber's Foods is up next, folks. And it's Barber's with an S, food with an S. So two S's, Barber's Foods. And again, best meat I've ever eaten, folks. You name it, whether it's Wagyu beef, regular beef, bison, pork, poultry, salmon that they have now as well. And don't forget to ask about the smoked salmon they have in stock also. You name it, it's at Barber's Foods. And it's free shipping. Just put your order in today at barbersfoods.com.
Barber's Foods has been feeding Colorado families the highest quality protein since 1949. For over 50 years, the Barber's family raised the last of Colorado-grown turkeys on a turkey farm in Broomfield. And today, the Barber's family distributes high-quality, natural, local, and organic proteins from animals raised on family farms. They personally know all their producers, so whether you're buying beef, bison, pork, or poultry, they know where it's coming from and the family who raises the animals with care and respect. Place your order now at barbersfoods.com or call 303-466-7338. Pick up your order at the Denver warehouse located at I-70 and Brighton Boulevard near the National Western Center. Or for those in the Denver metro area, Barber's Foods will deliver direct. Colorado source bison, organic grass-fed beef, USDA prime beef, purebred Wagyu, slow-raised non-GMO Duroc pork, free-range chicken, non-GMO turkeys, and more. Barber's Foods, 100% Colorado native owned and operated. Barbersfoods.com.
Stay up to date with Rush to Reason after the show on Twitter at Rush to Reason and on Facebook.com/Rush to Reason.
All right, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. This hour is done. We'll be back. Talk to John Zmirak in just one moment. Also, I have some stuff about COVID I want to talk about when we come back as well. Myself, Andy, and Charlie, though, don't go anywhere. Hour 3 is next. Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560.